Hey, what's going on with y'all, man? This is Naptown Eddie on the Naptown Eddie Show. I know I've been gone for quite a while. Thank y'all for being patient with me. Just been busy, very, very busy. Been doing a lot of projects as of late. But anyway, later on in the show, I got a renowned child psychologist, Dr. Nakisha Hammond. She's coming on later in the show. So, by all means, please share the link, and this episode will be featured on Spotify, YouTube, SoundCloud. So make sure, you know what I'm saying, if you have any questions regarding to the interview for Dr. Hammond, by all means, you can post a comment, I mean post your question at the comment section, and you know, hopefully I can be able to ask Dr. Hammond the questions that you have. Also, how's everyone's Sunday? First of all, my Sunday's been great. I have not been doing too much today, watching sports videos, Sugar Ray Leonard, my old Michael Jordan games. But yeah, that's what I've basically been up to on my Sunday, but hopefully I'm going to have a busy week. I'm hoping to have a busy week because I got to keep making this money. Y'all feel me? You workers out there, y'all understand that. But anyway, so in a few minutes, I will be having Dr. Hammond on the show. I'm going to, you know, make a brief call to her real quick. She's taking the time to holler at your boy. I appreciate all of it. But right now, I'm going to go ahead and play a little track for y'all. So y'all can, you know, while I'm waiting to get everything set up. But this is the Naptown Eddie Show with your host, Eddie Parker, a.k.a. Naptown Eddie. Once again, thank y'all for tuning in. Here's Childish Gambino, Summertime Magic.
I'm not afraid to die.
We are back on the Naptown Eddie Show. Now, my special guest I have on the show today, and please forgive me. She's a renowned psychologist, intermediate past president of Psychological Association. She is the youngest to hold the prestigious position. Her new book is The Practical Guide to Raising Emotionally Healthy Children. And she engages in community forums that, you know, raises mental health awareness, focuses on violence, poverty. So, you know, give it up, everyone, for Dr. Nakisha Hammond. Doc?
Thank you for having me.
Hello, okay. All right, I could be able to hear you. Okay. Doctor, how are you today?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me. Now, this is my fault. I looked through the email, and I scheduled it 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. So you had it right.
Okay, good.
So where are you located right now?
Well, right on this second, I'm actually on a business trip, so I'm in Montana, but I'm usually in Florida.
Oh.
So my office is in Tampa Bay area of Florida.
Okay, so what's the weather like down there?
Very, very warm. I'm looking forward to a slight bit of colder weather, which is like 60s, but it's very warm and humid.
Yes, it's about 80 degrees up here in Chicago, so yes, we got bipolar weather here in the Midwest. I don't know what to say. So tell
yeah,
me.
You guys, yeah, your weather is well
spoken. Yeah. So tell everyone about yourself. Tell everyone who's Dr. Nakisha Hammond is, for the ones who don't know.
So if you don't know, I'm Dr. Nakisha Hammond, and I am the TV show host of Parenting Explained with Dr. Hammond, which airs in Tampa, New Mexico, and Washington, D.C. areas on some local channels. And I'm also, you talked about the first book, and I also wrote a new book, ADHD Explained, What Every Parent Needs to Know, and I'm about to launch an online course for ADHD as well. So I try my best, whether it's online, whether I'm speaking, or wherever it is, to just raise awareness about mental health issues. There's so much that's affecting, especially our youth. So that's my thing. I'm an advocate first.
Well, now can you repeat the title of your new book, ADHD Matters, or is that what it's called again? I'm sorry.
Yeah. So the new book is ADHD Explained.
Explains, okay.
What Every Parent Needs to Know.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. So, is it covers children with ADHD? Because when I was growing up, when I was a kid and I was going to elementary school, I was diagnosed with ADHD. And the doctor prescribed, like they did many children in the late 80s and the early 90s, Ritalin. And what I want to ask you, what I just want to get straight to, is Ritalin still appropriate to medicate kids with ADHD?
Well, and that's the thing. For some children, medication may be an option. It's certainly not the only option, though. As you mentioned many times, we're so quick to diagnose ADHD. We're so quick to say, throw some children on medication. But there are so many alternatives. There's so many things to do if a child has ADHD, first of all. And most importantly, sometimes children don't even have ADHD, and they're misdiagnosed. And I see that all the time in my practice. So it's so important for parents to understand that they need to know first what is really going on with their child.
And so, what are usually the demographics of kids that's being diagnosed with ADHD? Are they mostly a Caucasian, African American, Hispanic?
That's the thing. Yeah, the demographic, I mean, ADHD affects all races. Mm-hmm. One of the issues, though, that has come about, really, in more recent years, is that sometimes children like African-American children, or children that are Hispanic, or children of an ethnic minority status, mm-hmm. basically are being mislabeled with ADHD when really it's due to traumatic situations, it's due to living in poverty, or due to witnessing violence and those sort of things. So they're actually misdiagnosed many, many times. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge problem. I mean, it's an epidemic. It's mm-hmm. a problem.
Hmm. Does it have anything to do with home life? You know, like, is it like absentee parents, or like you said, is it?
It's not caused by that. Okay. So a lot of times people think, and that's one of the myths about ADHD, is that it's caused by poor parenting. It's absolutely not caused by poor parenting. However, if you have a child that's more prone to truly have ADHD or has it, and you do have bad parenting or absenteeism and those sorts of things, yes, it can make it worse, but it doesn't cause it, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yes, I'm sorry that...
Yeah.
I forget, don't worry about it. like what are the... Now, for the ones who don't know, everybody hears about ADHD, but what are the symptoms of ADHD? For the ones who don't know.
Yeah. So there's a lot of symptoms. But most importantly, I mean, it's what people think. It really is what people think. So it's having a hard time paying attention, having a hard time focusing. For some people, they're very hyperactive, they're very impulsive. So it is what people think. The problem is, it's not always ADHD. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. That's why people need to, that's what my book talks about. But there's a whole system to really understand if there's an issue. You can go online. I mean, anybody can Google. I know people use Google all the time. Go Google ADHD, look at the symptom, and you're like, oh, yeah, I got it. No, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Right? Just because you have some symptoms doesn't mean you have the condition. You have to see what else is going on, especially for children that are experiencing trauma, that are living in poverty, seeing a bunch of violence. This is so important. Because we're missing the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, the ADHD, you know, because people with ADHD, they take, remedial classes in school, and they get teased a lot. And when some of them, you know, when they become adults, does that affect their lives? You know, so to speak, does it make any...
Absolutely.
Absolutely, okay.
Absolutely does. And the thing is, though, but I just want to clarify for the listeners that you can have ADHD. I've tested so many children. I've tested children to see if they have ADHD. I've tested some children, their IQs are off the charts. They're, like, brilliant, right? Extremely gifted. You can have ADHD. I've tested children, and their IQs are very low, and they're considered slower learners. Right? So, I mean, you're going to have a hard time learning, but there's a range. You can be brilliant, a genius, not ADHD, or you can have learning issues. So not every child is in remedial classes. Some children are. Some children are in special education, but some are not. So regardless, absolutely, that's one of the things that children are struggling with when they're being bullied. And actually, there's a higher chance. If you have any sort of disability, whether it's mental health, physical, there is a higher chance of that child being bullied in school than in the next child. Well, of course it's going to affect you, right? So when you grow up, I mean, when you have these things, it's so sad. I mean, I have some kids where I'm like, okay, tell me something positive about yourself. There's nothing. I'm like, what do you mean there's nothing? You know, these are elementary, middle school, sometimes high school, they're like, there's nothing positive about me. Like, of course there's something positive. But when you take that into your adult years and you think less of yourself, now you don't think you're good enough for a relationship, now you can't keep a job, maybe you start abusing substances, it really has an impact later on. So this is not just something that, you know, is affecting kids, but this is affecting your life. If we don't get it right, if we don't get the diagnosis right.
Right. And I can most certainly testify to many of those, you know, symptoms that I had myself. But what I want to ask you, so what inspired you to write a book about ADHD? Because not too many people are, not too many psychologists, not too many medical professionals are covering ADHD, ADD. What inspired you to write about ADHD?
I was really inspired, honestly, because, so January 2019 will be 10 years that I've been in private practice, mm-hmm. and honest to God, I was so inspired by every single family that has walked in my door, because I'm like, this is an epidemic, like, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way I can sit in my office and just see this happening, because, kids are misdiagnosed. They come in, oh, it's ADHD, oh, it's not ADHD, it's, whatever it is, something else, learning disability, depression, anxiety, something else. So, really, it's preventative to me to say, you know what, here's some information. Please, I'm begging people, please get a psychological evaluation. Please go to your pediatrician to see if there's any medical issues. But you need to find out if you have this condition. Because like you just mentioned before, this is not something that's just going to affect you in your childhood experiences. It can affect you for life. I have people... Now that I wrote the book, it's so funny. I have adults too that are emailing me. I just was it. I'm 49 years old. I'm this years old. I'm that. I wish I had a book like this, because really, it's like if you can get it right at the start and understand what's going on with the child. Now we know how to properly treat them. Now we know what to do for them in school. Right? It's to put them on a path of success. That's what we want in theory. Right? Mm. But we're not doing that as a society. We're just throwing quick labels on, throwing the medication, and moving on.
Exactly.
People are wondering why our children are suffering.
Exactly. And, like when it comes to adults, you had a lot of adult clients, right? Or adult patients, so to speak. I'm sorry. Yeah, adult patients.
Yeah, all ages, but primarily children. But yeah, all ages, I think.
Okay. Now, say if I... All right, so say if you have, let's just do a scenario real quick. Say if you have an adult come in to your office, right? And be like, Miss Hammond, your 12 o'clock appointment came in, right? And say if this guy came in your office, he's like, hey, how you doing? I'm imitating Trump right now. So, I'm sorry, man. If you were to psychologically evaluate him, what would be his diagnosis mentally?
And that's what's hard. What you can really is like 5 seconds of information, and actually, this is what happens all the time. The case in point with kids, people have 5 minutes of information about a child, and they're like, this is what's going on with you. No, there can be like 25 things. That's like, okay, let me help people understand. When you go to the doctor, there is no doctor in the world that's going to say, you know what, we're going to do your blood work and test you for one thing only, and that's it. We're not going to look at anything else. That would be ridiculous. We would be outraged, right? If the medical profession did that. They don't get that. They say, let's look at your cholesterol, let's look at your blood sugar, let's look at your iron, your whatever, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing for kids. Like, we take the 5, like you said, and people do that all the time. Teachers will look 5 minutes. He has ADHD. Some pediatricians will take 5 minutes. Yep, you sign the form that says he has these symptoms, ADHD. It's not that simple. Mm-hmm. This is more complex. And we're ruining lives when we take this quick, shortcut approach to take 2 minutes, make a diagnosis, roll in all these labels and do these things that are not accurate, and we don't take into account the full picture. I have been posting up to say, for time, but articles about trauma informed care and how we need to keep in mind that kids that have PTSD, they are traumatized. People only think about it with war veterans, but it's not just veterans. They're kids too. They're so traumatized they can't function in the classroom. So we need to keep on. Actually, I put it today on my Twitter account. It's BR_Hammond in my Twitter account, or anywhere on social media. People need to take this information, teach to get this information. This is a major change that we need to make in our system if we're going to be, quote unquote, saving kids.
Exactly. And I saw your last tweet. Finally, society is starting to understand. Suspending young elementary schoolers for minor issues is nonsense.
It's ridiculous. It's nonsense. I'm very outspoken on Twitter. Anyone wants to, yeah, I don't hold back. I mean, when you suspend a 6-year-old for ridiculous, I mean, and when I used to work in the school system for many years, mm-hmm. So I've seen a lot of different schools and how their approaches. I totally disagree mostly with how many schools operate. When you're suspending a 6-year-old because he took a pencil and he threw it up the wall because he was mad, that is ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, those are the kind of things that kids are getting in trouble for. That is insanity. Instead of saying, I wonder what's wrong with you. Oh, wait, you didn't have dinner last night? You couldn't sleep because you're worried about your safety? We don't know what's going on with kids. It's like, what? Suspend them. Mm-hmm. That makes no sense. And you're 6, 7, 8 years old.
Right. Right. 6, 7, 8 years. I mean, you know, what happened to time out? You know.
Right.
What happened to, you know, just go to the principal's office or, you know, just call the parents or whatever.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, well, again, as I mentioned, if anyone wants to follow me on Twitter, I will admit, this is the same. I sort of lose my mind sometimes on there because the stories that come through are absolutely ridiculous. I mean, handcuffing 6-year-olds, I think it was yesterday or the day before, I was talking about a story where they tased an 11-year-old girl. I don't know if you heard about that one. And it was silly because they thought she was chocolate. And it was like baby clothes and something else. It was like $50 worth of stuff. And I'm like, you tased an 11-year-old girl. Like, the point we're at in our society and how we treat children is so sad, especially in America, I will say, because we act like children don't have any rights. I know they're not legal adults, but they absolutely have rights. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason that we're taming children. No, if she was, you know, trying to murder someone, I could understand. I mean, taking something out of the store. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very sad where we're at, and I'm really hopeful for change, though.
Yeah.
So that's going to change.
Yeah, I mean, kids are, they really are going through it, especially in this society and generation. I mean, we have certain states that who have politicians who doesn't mind legalizing pedophilia. And, you know, that's even more hurtful to children. You know what I'm saying? But
it's horrible.
Yes. You know, yeah. I mean, like, kids are, you know, they're catching a lot of mess right now. Also, I wanted to ask you, as far as, you know, the educational system is going right now, as far as elementary school kids all the way to middle school kids, what's your opinions on it right now as far as the education curriculum? Is it still the appropriate curriculum for them to have? Or
No.
It's not.
No, it's absolutely horrible. No, not at all. And because, well, a couple things. One, I mean, again, I'm in mental health every day for the past, 15 years or so, back, even back when I was in grad school. And one of the things is that we don't, it's like, all we see, and I actually had, well, anyhow, an administrator tell me that one, we're here for the academics, that's it. Mm-hmm. Which is the worst thing to think, the worst thing to say, to have that mentality. And that's one of the reasons why I'm traveling across the country right now to explain to school systems, we have to change the culture of our schools.
Yes.
We cannot have this whole idea of academic, like, you learn your reading and you learn your math, and then you go home and you're this great person. That's silly.
Mm-hmm.
We have to think about social-emotional learning. We have to think about trauma-informed care. You should care what happened to the kids the night before and why they're acting out in class instead of immediately suspension or expulsion, all these ridiculous things that we do to kids. So, no, our system is right now very flawed.
No.
We don't take into account mental health. There's some parents that have told me, actually, week after week, which is sad, and that's a whole other issue, but parents that have told me that their child has like a specific need or mental health, and their teacher doesn't want to put the things into place to help them. And it's like, they have documentation. They have, by federal law, a 504 plan or an IEP, which is an individual education plan. This says, my child has ADHD, you know, depression, anxiety, whatever it is. you need to put these things in place to help them. And it's like, well, I have to eat my thoughts. Well, I'm sorry, but this child has a need. You have to help them. Mm-hmm. You know, so this overall, and I want to know, we can talk for 3 hours about this, but no, our education system is very flawed, very flawed. It is not student-friendly at all in many schools. Now, some schools are doing great things, but many schools, you know, very flawed.
Very flawed, yes. And you have the, not only the educational system is flawed right now, but, you know, you got kids out here, and I think it's funny. They can recite a rap song quicker than they can say their ABCs. I may be over exaggerating, but it's crazy right now. I mean, this is society. This is society we live in right now. So
very true.
Yeah, I just don't understand that. I mean, and I think that's where the parenting comes in, you know. But that's just my opinion. But
you know,
go ahead.
It is, but it's also on the school too. It really is on the school, because what's so funny is that, as I mentioned before, I used to work in a school for, I think it was about 6 years or so in different capacities. Mm-hmm. So I was in that system, right? And then I always heard the teachers say, well, it's the parents' fault, if only the parents were involved, yada, yada. Now I'm in private practice, so I work with the parents. So what do I hear? Well, it's the teacher's fault. And everybody's blaming one another. But really, I'm like, in an average weekday, mm-hmm. as a teacher, you normally spend more time with that child than a parent.
Right.
The parent comes home, maybe they pick up the kid at 6 o'clock, they're, you know, cooking dinner, bath, and bed. They're not spending the entire day with them. You know, so I insist on the teachers, on the schools. Like, we have to do better in the schools and stop blaming the parents.
Right. Yeah, true that. I mean, I don't have any kids right now. Thank God I don't. I don't have the patience.
They're wonderful.
Do you have any kids right now?
I do. I have a 6-year-old son. So he's in first grade this year, and it's been a blast. He's my little comedian. So.
Uh-oh. that's great. Does he listen to rap music?
A little bit.
Yeah.
but we do have learning too.
Yes, exactly.
Reading is good, so.
So you also focus on violence and poverty. Is this just here in general in America, or are you just that's just for children?
Children, because one of the things that really inspired me in regards to that was, gosh, I don't know how many years ago, it was probably five years ago, and I went to this school. I was at a community meeting, and basically learning that of this school, it's basically an F school, if you will, so kids coming from lower income communities, and in the school, in the third or fourth grade, there was one child, third or fourth grade, that was on grade level for reading. One child.
Wow.
And to me, that just blew my mind. I'm like, how are we doing a disservice? Because, you know, anyways, we're in the meeting, you're looking at the data. I'm like, why are we there? Like, that we're doing such a disservice to kids. And again, it's one of those things where it's like, well, there's a child, you know, whatever it is, the child's family or parents are working so much, they're not involved, this and that. And again, we go to the blame game. It shouldn't matter if there's violence, if there's poverty, whatever it is that's going on at home. Instead of blaming the family for these things that sometimes are completely out of their control, or may take a long time, right, for the social worker or whatever else may deal with, let's work as a school system, right, to sort of get around those factors and do what we can to best support the student. Like, that is where the shift needs to happen. With this, really. So, and that's what really, you know, really inspired me, honestly, like, hearing that. And this is in my own community. This is in Hillsborough County, which is Tampa area of Florida. And it was heartbreaking. I'm like, this is craziness. So, you know, as far as personally, just, I'm one of the liaisons at my church, and we try to bring school supplies. My office, we did school supply drive at the beginning of the year for this other residential program. But, like, these are things that the community can do as well, because you have to share kids that live in poverty, they don't think about the same things as typical children. They're not worrying about, like you said, sometimes the new Drake song, whatever. You know, so some kids are worrying about, I didn't eat for the past 2 days. I didn't eat this weekend. Or they're worrying about their safety, or, you know, like things that kids should, I mean, shouldn't have to worry about, but they do. There's kids that are homeless. You know what I mean? Like, but we don't, with parents, and the teachers are shocked, like, oh, I didn't know he was homeless the past 2 weeks. And you wonder why he was acting out at school. You know what I mean? So, again, we have to really just take the time to change the narrative, really, like, for teachers and for kids. And, like, let's focus on the children, which was the whole goal, I thought, of teaching and education.
Exactly. Yeah. What is your opinions on child rearing?
Well, I mean, as far as child rearing, as far as corporal punishment, guys, that's a question that I get very often. I actually did a dissertation type of project coming out of graduate school about it, and more or less, the data's there, and nobody wants to hear it, especially in America. There's many countries that have banned corporal punishment, and the data's there to suggest that it's not the best use of discipline. And I know what people are thinking. People say, well, I grew up and I was thanked, so was I. You know, it's like, oh, and I turned out to be a great person. Well, it doesn't mean it was right. And now we're in 2018. Yeah. And we're thinking about things. Well, my grandma, my great-grandma, well, that was in the 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s. I mean, it's a different.
Especially in the black community.
I really, well, yes. And I know that nobody, you know, nobody wants to hear that. But I mean, the data is there. My personal and professional opinion, I do not believe in thinking. However, I think that I want to believe that if you knew how to get the same result as thinking from your child, which normally is for them not to be defiant and to listen, if you knew a way to always make that happen, you would, I mean, I would hope, you would choose not to think your child.
Right.
So, like, if you learn methods, there are methods where you can get your child to behave and do the things they need to do, you don't need to spank them. You know, so I'm not at all an advocate for that. And again, spanking is such a loose term. I mean, some people, I mean, if you know, hit your child once or twice here and there, that's spanking. And then some people use it every day. Like, that is problematic, to use spanking every day, all day. That's the only thing you do. That's very problematic for children.
Oh, okay. Now, like, I get exactly what you're saying, because I'm not going to whoop none of my kids if I have some in the future, and I'm not just saying that. I'm just not going to do it. I'm probably just going to spoil the heck out of them. But they might get away with murder with me. Who knows? No. But, like, when you are working with children, how much time do you spend with them when you're working with children?
Yeah, so as far as evaluations, because of, well, 6-7 years ago or so, I made the switch to my private practice to mainly evaluations, because I really saw that as more preventative than doing the therapy I was doing. Not that it's not a positive thing to do. Obviously, intervention, right, is wonderful and needed, but I wanted to be more on the prevention approach. I'm like, let me try to do the evaluations to say, hey, here's what's going on before you need to support any therapy. So when I do evaluations, normally it takes hours. Mm-hmm. So I'm with a child, it's not a 5-minute assessment where they come in and I look at them for 5 minutes, I say, oh, it's ADHD or whatever it is. I spend hours with them and, you know, gathering information from teachers, gathering information from primary care, if there's health issues, talking with the parent, you know, there's all these different sources, obviously talking to the child. So it takes hours really to do that, and then, you know, kind of delving into the report and pouring the information, it's more thorough than, you know, like for the 5-minute assessment that people are doing with kids.
And, like, your last book, I want to go back to it, The Practical Guide to Raising Emotionally Healthy Children. Now, how long was that? Did that come out around the same time as ADHD?
The first one came out in 2016, and then the ADHD one came out this year, May 2018.
Okay, so tell us a little about the first, but the one that came out in 2016, The Practical Guide to Raising Emotionally Healthy Children. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, So the first one I wrote really because I wanted to make it just like some simple tips for parents, like things to think about, how to help your child, because oftentimes I feel like we don't really talk to our children about emotions. So we know, I feel like many parents know, like, okay, the talk, you know, the talk is about sex, about drugs, about, you know, how to behave, or, you know, whatever, but it's not, like, emotions, like, you just, we just expect kids to, like, know how to act, and know how to handle emotions, so, which is not good, like, we have to have conversations. I mean, I've been having conversations with my child since he was in preschool, like, okay, if you feel sad, if you feel mad, you know, age appropriately, obviously, of how to react, and what do you do with that emotion? What is normal? You know, like, if you're kicking the cat in your house because you're mad, that's not good, right?
That's
an extreme, but, like, what do you do when you're mad? You don't throw something, break something, but instead you can do this. And kids, especially kids, younger kids, they need very concrete steps. So a lot of the books, they're talking about, like, how, I mean, literally how to go about that, like, how to role play, especially with the younger crowd, because they're so precious, but they don't know unless you tell them constantly, when this happens at school, this is how you can respond, or this is what you should say. So a lot of the book is based on that, just, you know, like some quick tips and guides for parents to really just do the parenting process. There's an education in there, reading, how to manage emotions. I try to put a little sprinkle of everything. But just another resource to help parents get through the process or the journey of parenthood.
Cool. Okay. Now, Doc, you still here? Doc?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I thought you were
here.
I said, no, she didn't hang up on me. Lord, geez. Anyway, my show usually is featured artists with, you know, mostly hip hop. And I always ask them this question, and I'm going to ask you also, even though you're in a totally different field. what are your biggest challenges as a psychologist?
I think my biggest challenge, it's very frustrating because society sort of goes like, we don't know what to do. Like, we don't know the answers. And I'm like, psychologists, we know the answers. We have the data. We have the research. We have the years of experience. We know what to do. It's a matter of priorities and then addressing them. So that's my biggest frustration. Like, oh, do you want the recommendations for education? We have plenty. And especially as, well, immediate now, past president of the Florida Psychological Association, I have really met some brilliant psychologists in Florida. I mean, really all over the country, but, you know, in Florida, too. And I'm like, there are people doing amazing things, but, again, as society, the priority is, to me, is definitely not children. It's definitely not mental health or education. So until to that point, it's going to be difficult for a while. So that is my really biggest frustration that I have, is the system that we're living in.
Now, you serve on the board of directors for the Ryan Niese, is it how you say that? Ryan Niese?
Yes, Ryan Niese Foundation.
Ryan
Niese, yeah.
Okay, tell us a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so it is a wonderful foundation. This is, I believe, my fourth year on the board. We do so many things. We have a student service program, which really works with juniors and seniors in high school. We take them on a trip every year. We went to Dominican Republic, Louisiana, New Orleans. We went to Flint, Michigan, obviously to deal with the water crisis. And then the Keys, actually the past year was trying to say the Keys, to deal with hurricane cleanup. So we have like an annual trip, but also monthly we teach them leadership skills, we teach them how to give back to their community. We're really trying to encourage this, not just for high school, obviously, not just to get credit for community service, but as a and something to have and carry on into their adult years. So it's so exciting. They're the greatest group of kids. They're very bright. They get it, the power of giving. And then we also do other community projects, like feeding the homeless, or feeding people in need, I should say, around Thanksgiving time. We have, you know, fundraisers and that sort of thing. But it's been a really, really valuable experience, particularly for me. I love the student service program. And I've, you know, gone on the trip and seen that transformation and then really getting and understanding what it's like to give back to their community and make that a commitment, not just high school, but, you know, throughout their lives. It's been wonderful.
Now, you travel a lot. Is there any place that you haven't been or where you want to go? Or
Man, you know, yes. I haven't been to Australia yet, so I'm hoping to get there. I don't know.
What's the place again?
I'm hoping to get there. Australia.
Australia. Oh. Oh, wow, mate.
Yeah, I know. I'd love to go there. I'm excited
You've been featured on Life Improvement Radio, CBS Boston, excuse me, Essence Magazine, WFLA News, Channel 8, Tampa Bay Times, Desert News, Tampa Bay Parenting, AM 1150, WTMP, Ebony Magazine, 105.5 WDUV, Channel 4 San Antonio, and a whole bunch more. The reason why I'm saying is, I think you're going to end up on TV one day. Have a TV show. Oprah might call you. What you think?
That'd be great. I'll answer. If Oprah calls, don't worry. I'll answer.
I think Oprah might call you. And, cause I seen your interview with Les Brown, which it was a great discussion you two had. I thought that was fabulous.
Thank you. He was phenomenal.
Huh? Yes, he's phenomenal. He inspired me a lot.
Inspirational and amazing.
Yes.
Yes, amazing.
Yes, his story is so amazing. So, let's have a little fun here. Yeah. What's your favorite type of music?
Favorite type of music? I'm gonna go on record. I actually am a Drake fan. I do like Drake.
I bet you do love that song, Kiki.
Yes, and I've seen all the variations for the kids and all that, which I think is adorable. But no, I love him. I love Beyonce and Rihanna. Right. So I do like hip hop, R&B. Just a little bit of everything, really.
Okay. Now, what's your favorite movie?
That's a good question. favorite movie? You know what? It's hard to decide. I do love, well, the genre movie I love is superhero movies. So honestly, anything superhero, I love. I think I've seen all of them in the past. Like, Superman, Batman, Avengers, Infinity War, everything. Anything superhero, I am there.
So, like, on your spare time, what are your hobbies? What do you like to do on your spare time?
Spare time, yeah. Hold on, no, I'm just kidding. So, actually, what I've done, since, yes, I do travel a lot and speaking all over and all that fun stuff, so I like to get out in nature. I like to take a little, I call it, my hashtag is take a minute, you know. But really, like, just to get out in nature, I do like yoga. I do yoga for my sanity. I always say that. So yoga, reading, being out in nature, just really calming things, because life can get crazy, hectic. You're running all around the place and, you know, trying to juggle things. It's crazy. So I just believe in, like, hanging it down a couple notches. So those are things I love. I love yoga. I love nature. I love traveling. I do like traveling for pleasure, too, when I have a chance. It is work. But yeah, I love those things.
Okay, cool. Now, here's another fun question. Now, if I had the keys to a Ferrari or keys to a Lamborghini, which one are you taking?
Oh, I'm still not a car person, but I guess a Ferrari.
So you are kind of a Canadian.
It's like the third I went through, should have been like four trips to Australia. I've been like the trip.
So, Dr. Kiki, no, I mean Dr. Hammond, just playing. Dr. Hammond, I this is an honor to be chatting with you. It's a complete honor. I appreciate you. Tell everyone how can they follow you. Give all the social media outlets, please.
Yes. So the best way is my website, and I will spell it. But it's drkeishahammond.com. So it's drkeishahammond.com. Or, as I mentioned before, I'm on Twitter at dr_hammond. I'm also on Facebook, Dr. Nikisha Hammond, and well, Instagram, Practical Parenting. But the best way is definitely my website. It has all the information and all the social media. As I mentioned, I'm very outspoken on Twitter. So if you want to say, well, my opinion on things related to children, mental health, or education, and I'm definitely mostly on Twitter. So.
Okay. Dr. M, once again, I appreciate everything, and thank you for calling in. Please tell everyone how to get their book, please.
Yes, for sure. So my book is on Amazon. That's the best way. A book books actually are on there. So Amazon.com, and everybody knows that. And it's ADHD Explained, What Every Parent Needs to Know, is the latest book.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Dr. Nikisha Hammond. This is the Naptown Eddie Show. Thank y'all for stopping by. Naptown Eddie, over and out.